the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Golf Podcast. So we're going to talk today about launch angle. I know everybody wants to get a little bit more out of their drive, so Mike and I have identified three little things you can do, things you can change a little bit, or at least make sure you're doing so you can maximize that launch angle, because that and swing speed, you combine the two of them and that's really where you're going to get that distance. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. That's going to be a big one. I also want to update everyone on the Golf Office Virtual Open. That's still going on. We've got a little less than two weeks now to get in there, but you know, right up until August 15th, you can get in, you can play your round, and you've got a chance to win some really cool prizes. So I want to talk about that and how that's going, some lessons learned, some things we're going to adapt for the next tourney that we do. So some cool stuff, stick around for that. But as always, we can't start talking about golf until we tip our hat to tonight's show sponsor, Atlas Premier. If you're in our listener Facebook group, you've probably seen a few of our podcast fans flashing their new Atlas gear from all the great giveaways they've been doing. Hands down, everybody loving the fresh new take that Atlas Premier is giving to golf apparel.
Yeah, Frank. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen their new Safe Ground hoodies. I mean, these things are fresh and it's August. So pretty soon it's the fall. So we're going to be thinking about sweatshirts. And I'm glad you brought up the giveaways, because we've been giving gear away from these guys for the past 8 weeks, and we're going to be giving it away through the end of August. I mean, all you have to do is join the free Facebook group, The Golf Podcast. You're automatically entered once you're in there. Plus, we talk about a ton of awesome things in that group anyway. And I love what these guys are doing with their two-tone shirts. I actually wore one of these in our three club challenge vlog video episode, but I'm probably going to rock that tomorrow. So Frank, I can't get enough of these guys. I mean, from head to toe, the hats, stylish, everyone's commenting, hey, what's that brand? What's that logo? I've never seen that before. And it's really cool to have like a fresh face in the game, in the apparel golf game.
Yeah, without a doubt. And listen, don't take our word for it. Check them out. You know, it's really cool. Check out Atlas Premier on Instagram and Twitter at @Atlas_Premier. You can check out the site too. You're going to see what we're talking about. Really cool designs, totally different than what you're going to see on the rack with all the other kind of getting tired old golf apparel. So it's really great. And now's the time, if you're going to rework that wardrobe, you know, the boys over at Atlas, they've that exclusive discount that they've been giving our listeners all summer. Now they've got it at 25% off your order. All you got to do is use coupon code GOLFPODCAST at checkout. So visit atlaspremier.com for more on that.
All right, Frank, I know you're in the market for a strong mattress, especially for your back, you know, something to get a quality night's sleep. And before you drop $3,000 on a mattress, on one of those store mattresses, you know, one of those ones with thousands of uncomfortable coils, check out Bear Mattress. You know, not only are they huge supporters of the show, but they might arguably be the best mattress in the business. I mean, our friends at Bear have created this optimal cooling, recovery, and pain relief mattress so that you could sleep better and perform at your best every single day. And they're eco-friendly, they're comfortable and supportive. And get this, they are up to 7 times cooler than traditional foam.
Yeah, Mike, and of course, we're loving that Bear mattresses are made right here in the USA. They're sold online on their website, and they're shipped free to your door. You know, delivery is free, easy as that. No need to drive down to the mattress store, have one arm out the way trying to hold that thing on your roof. You know, you just ships right to your door. And get this, even their top model is still priced under $1,000. So take a chance on these guys. Seriously, you've got nothing to lose. You get 100-night in-home trial. And if you don't love, they'll pick it up and refund 100% of your money. Check them out at bearmattress.com. It's B-E-A-R mattress.com today. And also, as an added little kicker, use that promo code GOLFPODCAST. You'll get $50 more off your purchase. So really cool stuff. Mike, let's talk about, get into a little bit in a second, how you got a great round coming up tomorrow, which I'm incredibly jealous, because it's one of my top 10 courses in the area that I've wanted to play. So that's really cool. But I want to talk really quick about the Open. It's growing tremendously, the Golficity Virtual Open. If this is the first time you're hearing about it, guys, check out golficity.com/open for all the details. It's free to enter. It's free to play. What we did was, again, we tried to find a way that our listeners who are spread out all over the world, which is really cool, which what we're seeing, some of these scores being entered. I'm just loving checking out some of the golf courses people are playing, like all over the world. It's funny. I do get it. I sympathize. Some guys, it's like, hey, it's winter here where we are, guys. Right. It's a little bit tougher, but you know, play those winter rules. Whatever you got to do, play the local rules, you know, and get out there and do it. As we said, we're learning from it. It's our first time running an open this big, a virtual open. We are going to do this a lot more often. We've got great prizes we're giving away, and we're learning from it. We are going to adapt the scoring a little bit in the future. Main reason, Mike, we're seeing with the, again, going back to our thought process, understand, guys, we try to make it in a way that no one would be discouraged from playing, because we know from a listener standpoint, you know, you guys run the gamut out there. We have scratch golfers, and we have guys who are just picking up sticks for the first time. So we didn't want anybody to get discouraged and think like, how am I going to compete? So we are playing with handicaps. Again, golf is a game of honor. You're on your honor to enter your correct handicap to play your round the right way. We have a couple of clearly errant rounds in here, which we will unfortunately have to disqualify. There's one where a guy shot a net 18. but I did speak with him briefly, and it's not a matter of dishonesty. He was entering his score in relation to par rather than entering his stroke. So he has a bunch of zeros on a few holes. And I even talked to the guys at 18 birdies, because those guys are really accepting with feedback. And Mike, I told them, like, you should stop it. You know, and disallow someone to enter a zero on a hole.
Right.
I mean, that right there should say, wait a minute, something's wrong, and then prompt them, you know, the right way to enter it. So I did speak with him. I'm hoping he updates his scorecard. Otherwise, that's going to be a disqualification. Then we've got a couple here that I don't know how to put this, Mike. We had a 14 handicapper shoot. Let's see here. Shoot a 68. A gross 68 for a net 54.
Right.
Now, Mike, my 3-year-old, she can paint, right? But this would be like my 3-year-old painting the Mona Lisa.
Exactly. You're right.
There's something wrong there. And again, I don't want to accuse anyone of cheating. I don't want to accuse anyone of sandbagging. But it gets to a certain point where it's like, maybe it was entered wrong. I don't know.
Listen, I'm a 15 handicap, and if a fantastic, flawless day on the course, one of those rounds where you rush to the bar and have a drink afterwards, it was so good, would be probably like a 78, 79. You know, that would be epic for me.
Right.
So I'm thinking 68? No way.
No way.
No way.
Look, I mean, here's the numbers. My mind was like, couldn't wrap myself around this a little bit. So I did some poking around online, and I even emailed Richard Todd, who's like our rules guy, you know, great listener of the show. He's been on the show before, and he knows the rules in and out. And I asked him, I'm like, is it possible? Like, is there a minimum score you can take against your handicap? You know, because we know there's like kind of a max. Is there a min or something like that? And he said he's going to look into it a little bit deeper. But as far as he knows, no, because theoretically, I guess anybody could shoot a terrific round. But I'm like, I got to dig a little bit deeper. So I searched around a little bit online. I found this one website, popeofslope.com, which is a hilariously great name. Mm-hmm. So they answered the question, what are the odds of a 16 handicapper breaking 80? So I'll read exactly what he says. He says, the odds of someone breaking their handicap, if it's an honest handicap, by 8 strokes is 1,138 to 1. So most golfers, that represents about 54 years of golf, which is basically a lifetime of golf. The odds of beating your handicap by 8 strokes twice is 14,912 to 1, or essentially 710 years of golf. So
wow,
we've got one here who, again, now that was a 16 handicap breaking 80. We've got a 14 handicap shooting a 68. We had a 35 handicap shooting 85 for a net 50. At a net 54. So listen, what I want to convey is, again, Mike and I were doing our very best to keep this as fair and honest for every out there that we can. And we want to get you guys the prizes. We don't want to be the sticklers. We don't want to be anything like that. But again, we're going to have to review this. There are some rounds we will have to call into question. I don't want anyone, if you haven't played your round yet, don't discourage because you see that first place is 53 under par, second place 22 under par, and you'd be like, there's no way, and just quit on it. We are going to be reviewing them. We're going to be asking these people for a little bit more proof there, maybe show us their handicap, contest the round a little bit. Again, we don't want to be sticklers. We want to try to keep it fair for everyone. On top of that, we're hearing what you guys are saying, the feedback. We appreciate it. As far as functionality feedback, we're giving that to 18 Birdies. I think they've got probably the best product out there when it comes to this type of app where you're, you know, keeping score and you have like social media type thing. We give them feedback. You guys are giving us feedback. In the future, we are going to structure our tournaments a little bit different. We did this the first time just to get it out there and get used to doing it, but we'll do either tiers, Mike, or I think we're going to do like net and gross. We got to do something a little different to help get away from that, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's tough. Like you said, it's all about honesty, but I think the best part, I mean, yeah, prizes are great, but get out there and do it just for the pure fact of playing in a tournament and then, you know, being in the live leaderboard. You know, I did have a little bit of pressure on me that day. It's as weird as it sounds. I mean, it's a, you know, a fake tournament, a virtual tournament. You and I can't even win any of these prizes. And I still was like a little bit nervous. It was different. It was a different feeling, but it was cool. I really liked it. And I really can't wait to be in another one of these because it was, I really liked the pressure part.
Well, we got the bragging rights on the line. We're all talking about it in the Facebook group. So yeah, there's going to be a little bit of pressure there, but I think that what you just highlighted has been my favorite part of the tournament so far. And the feedback I'm getting, that's what I'm hearing from a lot of guys, how cool it is. And that where I got to really thank 18 Birdies for being able to put that together in the app and we can leverage it here. But that live leaderboard, that's just so cool. I mean, it's like, even when I used to play in high school, right? We would be there. You play with the guys you're playing against directly in your group, but you had no idea what the field was doing.
Right.
And you'd come into the clubhouse and try to look at everything and stuff like that. But here it's like, I'm out there hole by hole. I can see what everybody else is doing. I can see that my move up and down the leaderboard. And for people who you know, we're never going to get a chance to play professional golf, it's just a kind of a cool experience. You almost feel like you're out there on the PGA Tour, you know, checking your app and seeing like where, as you move up and down the leaderboard,
right.
It's really cool. And or the other thing is too, because this is going on every day. Sometimes I'll be at the office. I'll check in. I'll see some of the rounds that are going. I like to just kind of watch them, see how everybody's playing. It's kind of cool. You just watch guy as he moves through the round and up and down the leaderboard. It's fun. It's really, it's been a fun experience without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay. Again, another thing I wanted to mention too, which is a cool little thing. And I want to get your take on this, Mike. Chris McEwen had written an article just the other day on Golficity where he did a review of the Sound Caddy. Have you seen this thing yet?
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I don't have one, but it definitely seems like something I would like.
Interesting little concept. It's a speaker and it's shaped like a golf club, which originally you would think, well, that's gimmicky, shaped like a golf club. But Chris makes a good point that because it's shaped like a golf club, it's actually easier to carry because you just stick it in your bag. And
exactly.
It's got a little spike on the end so you can stick it in the ground and listen to music, you know, at the range or something like that. So, you know, he was, you know, loving it and he does his whole review and I won't step on his toes. You gotta jump in and actually read his review. It's really great, great authenticity. But it made me think of and ask the question because Chris kind of brings up in the article how we're starting to see a little bit more where music or any type of noise really on the golf course was always a big no-no. We're seeing that kind of switch. So like people more and more are playing music. We see it all the time, right? On like Instagram, people in their story in the cart playing music while out there, whatever it may be.
Right.
So we did a little poll in the Facebook group to see what's, you know, who's listening to music out there. And you know, the number one answer was no, never. Most people said no, they don't listen to music with course. But what I found more interesting was the shift that was there. So like we just posted this a couple hours ago. We had 14 people say no, but not too far behind. 12 said maybe sometimes and only, you know, one said yes always. But so somebody's out there just rocking no matter
yes,
what's going
on. I love
on, it. You know? But right. We had the 12 maybe sometimes kind of tells me something. I feel like there's like a shift going on, like where the game maybe is loosening up a little bit. People are out there. You know, what do you think?
I mean, I definitely think it's trending that way. I mean, look at look at the 16th hole at the Waste Management Open. Mm-hmm. You know, look at guys like Ricky Fowler amping the crowd up now.
Yeah.
You know, let's not be quiet anymore. I see guys out there with music. And every time I see it, I love it. I'm like, yes, I like that. You know, but I didn't think ahead to do that because it's not on my mind. But you know me with music. I love music. I like to incorporate it in my practice routines. I like to use it in the gym, of course. But, you know, out there on the course, it's not something that I do. I was one of the no's. But I think I should be one of the maybes and definitely try it. But I don't know. I don't know about this item. Maybe just a speaker.
But what I think what it comes down to, and something that Chris highlights really well in his article, it really comes down to just that level of respect. You know, as long as you ask the guys you're playing with, are they cool with it? And like he talks about keeping it low enough so it really doesn't go too far outside of your heart. It's like everybody listen to it. Because no doubt, if you do that, if you blast music out there, you're either going to get kicked off or you're going to get somebody who's not liking it. But I think it was an interesting shift. And he had mentioned an article that we linked to it in that article, in Chris's article, from Next Gen Golf, which I follow these guys. I check them out once in a while. They've got a pretty cool little website going, where they're like kind of millennials and younger guys and their take on the game. So I always say we talk about the strength of the game and growing the game. So I always like to think what, you know, maybe the guys who are a little younger than me are into. And they mentioned, like, I think it was 10 points that they said for golf courses to attract the younger guys, the millennials. And one thing they said, like actually the number two on the list was let us play music. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It's out there. People want it. So I wonder, we'll see where the game goes, but weigh in. You know, I want all the listeners out there to weigh in and let us know. We'll have that poll running for a little while in the Facebook group. But these guys actually, just going back to Next Gen Golf, they highlight some other really great ideas. They talk about reviews of golf courses being big because we're so used to like things like Yelp. And they talk about one thing that I like is flexibility in the round, even more so than playing 9 or 18. They talk about offering like three or six hole packages for guys who just want to get out right before work and play for a half hour.
Right.
Thing. I think it is a logistical challenge for on a busy course because it's like you got guys hopping on and off. But whatever. I mean, it's just food for thought. I thought it was pretty cool.
I mean, I like the idea, and I think they need to replace the water coolers with beer kegs. Nothing too heavy, just something light, similar to water, like Coors Light, Bud Light, something like that, just to kind of get you through the round. I mean, you do that with the music, and you got a whole day ahead of you.
It's a party out there. Well, that reminds me. There's one guy at the course I play, and he's respectful about it. I'll tell you, that, like, because he plays like really late, like twilight type of thing. But this guy's living. He's got, and I always know when I'm getting close to him because I hear Sinatra. He's always playing Sinatra in his car, and he's always got a cigar. I don't think this guy, I mean, he's a decent golfer. I don't think he cares whether he shoots 80 or 90 that day. He's always got a smile on his face, dude. I think he's just out there having fun. And that's partially what it's about, you know? Come on.
Yeah, that'll be me in about 30 years.
That's it, man. Listen to Sinatra.
Right.
Too funny. Before we jump into this topic tonight, tell us about your round tomorrow because I'm itching to like hear how it goes.
Oh, so I'm stoked. I'm playing Ridgewood Country Club tomorrow. And, you know, the cool thing about it is that, you know, we're fortunate to get the Barclays come through our area, you know, every year for the playoff time, FedEx Cup. So you and I have been there behind the ropes. It's been awesome to be there, but you know, of course we want to play the course too because we've been there and we've been on the course and walking it and seeing them play it. So that's happened at Bethpage, that's happened at Plainfield Country Club, and what was the other one? Oh, Liberty National.
Yes.
I got to both go to the Barclays and play the course, you know, pretty soon after or near there. And now Ridgewood's the only one I've yet to play, and that's tomorrow. So it's like the four are going to be complete for me. I'm so excited. Well,
plus we've seen Ridgewood so many times because we used to play Paramus a lot,
right,
and that butts up right against it. So, which I like Paramus. That's a nice little course too. But you look over the fence and you're like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridgewood's gorgeous.
Big difference.
I would say keep us up to date on, you know, Insta and Snapchat, but no phones, right?
It's going to be real tough.
Yeah,
you know,
no phones allowed.
Yeah. I'm going to try to sneak it.
Yeah, just tell them you're using it for 18 Arcos or something.
Exactly.
Because exactly. I'd love to see at least a couple pictures out there.
Yeah, man, definitely.
All right, Mike, I want to talk about launch angle because everybody in the world are trying to get a little bit more distance out of our drive. So let's do a quick word from our sponsor, then I want to hop right into it. As you may know, the USGA mostly for their 14 annual championships and competitions. Their championships are widely looked upon as the ultimate tests in golf. But there's a lot about the USGA you may not know.
Yeah, the USGA has scientists who are constantly focusing on important health of the game solutions, including helping golf facilities reduce their reliance on water. Their innovation team has just come up with a resource management app that helps course superintendents know how to better allocate their resources and help ensure a better experience for all golfers. The USGA's handicap system also helps level the playing field and makes the game more social.
Yeah, and along with the RNA in Scotland, they're modernizing the game's rules, and they're even asking us for feedback that any of us can share with them online anytime. There's a lot to love about golf, and the greatness of the game brings out the best in all of us. Discover more at usga.org. All right, so saying you want to hit longer drives, it's like saying that water's wet. You know, it's not exactly like breaking news. Every golfer wants to hit longer drives, and it doesn't really matter how far you're hitting it. You're just like, I want to get a little bit more out of it, right?
Right. I mean, absolutely.
We, especially on the weekends, we watch DJ all Saturday and Sunday sitting on our couch, and we're like, oh man, I got to hit the ball a little bit further.
You know, it's funny you bring him up, because Peter Costas, I think last weekend at the RBC, did one of his like swing diagnosis when he like slows it all down and breaks it down. And to see that guy, his back at top swing is facing the target, and at follow through, his belly button's facing that rotation from back, that torque. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's torque that I can't even imagine getting myself trying.
It's ridiculous. I saw his trainer posted something on Instagram where it's just like him hitting indoors, right? And everyone was like just remarking it. Like one guy's comment was like, if that was outdoors, I think that thing would have landed on the moon. It's just like, he's ridiculous. Him, Justin Thomas, the amount of power that they generate. There's a couple other guys on tour. It's just ridiculous. But no matter what, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that, that you can, many, many episodes breaking down just his driver swing. But one component without a doubt that goes into it is launch angle. And you know, there's a number of ways you can get that extra added distance we're talking about. And one specific method we're going about here is optimizing your launch angle, not necessarily increasing. We're talking about optimizing. What's the optimal one. And as you can imagine, if you haven't heard the term, you can pretty much infer from listening to it, launch angle. It's the angle at which that ball leaves the club of face, you know, the club face and at impact. So if you launch the ball too high, you're going to waste some of that energy. You know, the shot's going to go up in the sky, and it's going to fall short of its potential. It's going to come down. You're not going to get much roll. It's just going to kind of plug. Or if you hit that ball too low, that carry distance is going to be reduced. So sure, it's great when it hits the ground and it's running, but don't forget, as soon as that ball makes contact with the ground, that's introducing that friction. It's going to slow it down. So it's when it's in the air, you're going to get more. So you want to get a little bit of that combination of the two, and you want to find a way that sweet spots between those two extremes, too high and too low. So it begs the question, what's the perfect launch angle? And look, golf's not a simple game in any light. So there's no simple answer to this either. There's not going to be an ideal launch angle. It's really going to depend on a number of variables. One big thing is going to be swing speed, and your ability to physically launch or lift that ball in the air. So for example, the average player on the PGA Tour launches the ball at a little bit more than 10 degrees with their driver. So makes you wonder, okay, is that the number? Should I be shooting for 10 degrees, you know, right in the 10 degree range? Probably not. You also have to think about this. The swing speed that a tour player produces, dramatic swing speeds by some of these guys like DJ, that produces a high rate of backspin and impact, which means that ball is going to climb, you know, out of a low launch, and it climb nice and high, and then, you know, make its way down the fairway. So they don't necessarily need as much of a launch angle as someone with a slower swing speed, where they need to lift it into the air a little bit more. So unless you're swinging that driver in excess of 100 miles an hour, you're going to need a launch angle, you know, launch the ball a little bit higher to maximize your overall distance. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. Another thing to think about, what are some of the signs of trouble with your launch angle? So we see a lot, like, don't go tweaking something that's not broken. You know, they want to fix something that's not broken. And sometimes this is something that leads people down the wrong path. They just hear launch angle and they're like, oh, okay, I just want to get a little bit higher launch angle, not realizing that maybe you're okay. And you might start to lose power as you go higher and higher. realistically, it should be relatively easy to notice if you're actually having some real troubling launch angle. And your next round out there, just pay particular attention to the flight of the ball each time you hit the driver. Does it seem like it's struggling to get off the ground, you know, or is it climbing up to the side and then falling straight down where it lands? And again, you got to do this with taking the variable of wind out, because I know if you drive the ball directly into the wind, it's going to most likely sky a little bit more and it's going to come more straight down. But if you start to see generally over time that the for instance, the you're not getting much roll and your ball is kind of plugging in the fairway a lot, that's where you might start to think, well, maybe it's a little bit too high. You're looking for those extremes, too high, too low. And another way, you know, to notice that you have a launch angle problem is just to listen to the guys playing with you. You know, a lot of them are going to have a better view of your drives, because often by the time we hit it and we look up, we've missed a little bit about it. So if you start to hear like the same repetitive comments like over and over, like, whoa, your ball, you sky that ball, or like that ball, you know, that's a worm burner, too low or slow or something. That's when you can start to get an idea. And if you feel like you're making a swing that's a similar swing speed to the other people you're playing with, but you're consistently the shortest hitter, there's a chance that that launch angle could be the problem, because we're taking out the variable of swing speed. But again, hard to quantify with the naked eye, but I mean, that makes sense, right?
It makes sense, but this is extremely way too scientific for me for a Tuesday night. But no, it's funny because lately I've been popping the ball up a lot with my driver, hitting very lofty and like coming down, like landing 220. And then I get the hole. Remember the hole at Stony Ford where I landed my drive like 20 yards off the green and I chipped it up and I made birdie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that drive had to have been, you know, high 200s, 290, because I was close to that green. And like, what are the differences? What am I doing on that one? Like, what am I doing? You know, I'm trying to mimic it right now. Am I getting so?
Well, a big thing, always got to make sure you take those few miss hits out. You know, those are like the out. If you're talking like statistics, I know we don't want to get too specific here, but if you're talking like statistics, there's going to be outliers, you know? So a miss hit here and there. I'm saying when you start to see long-term consistency of the same thing, too high, too low, the same way, like that pattern, that's when you start to realize what it, you know, that you might have an issue there. So let's try to keep it simple. Let's try to everybody like three quick, easy things that you can kind of look for and understand if you want to like kind of maximize that launch angle. The first thing is, and we've talked about this before, actually, we did a whole podcast episode on it because it's so important. It's a big thing I'm working on outside of the game, trying to do yoga and stuff like that, to try to really improve my balance. But staying balanced, that's like the number one thing when it comes to this. Losing your balance is going to quickly cause those launch angle problems. If you keep your weight on your back foot during the downswing, the ball will typically launch higher than you would like. Okay, so you're a little bit too far back. And now on the other side of that, if you get stuck on your front foot before impact, you're most likely going to be a little bit lower. So work on improving your balance and your trajectory, you know, should improve at the same time. One thing that has helped me dramatically with my balance, actually, I've been doing that Tathata golf. Really like, even in the very first, like, I guess we call it a series or whatever. You're not even holding a club yet. And he's just walking about the stance. And he talks about like that athletic stance.
Where are you doing it? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but where do you do it? Do you do it in the office? And like do you do it at home?
I've just been doing it at home. I've been throwing my laptop on my like kitchen island.
Okay.
Perfect. Just watching the videos there. Find that it's like, I just got a little bit of room and I can get in front of it. And I like that you can kind of pause them and go whenever, because it'll be like, watch it for 10 minutes. The baby cries, you know, go tend to her, come back. You know what I mean? But I do like he's very methodical, you know, and we actually had Brian, the founder, on the show a couple episodes back. So if you haven't checked that out yet, go back and check that out. But he's very methodical in like how he teaches you how just to walk in and then take that athletic stance. He like balances this whole like martial arts type of thing, which obviously requires a ton of balance. But I like to always liken it to the other sports I played, like baseball and football, like those ready positions, you know, because, you know, like football, if you're not balance, you're going to get knocked on your, you know what, in 2 seconds, you know, and in baseball, you can't react unless you're balanced. But same type of thing here, you got to like get used to being balanced before you take that swing, because so much is happening. So if just that little bit of too much weight one way or the other can cause those dramatic effects. So work on staying balanced. You're going to start to even it out there. Another thing you want, let your hands lead the way. You know, if your launch, if your angle is too high, you might be arriving at impact with your hands behind the position of the ball. Okay. And you can kind of get a quick visual of this if you just kind of lean your hands back and pretend like it's impact, and you'll see what I mean. So during that downswing, work on accelerating your hands aggressively so that they pass the ball prior to the club head making contact. Now, not dramatically. I don't want to see a lot of shaft lean. We did another episode on shaft lean. I don't want to see a lot of shaft lean on a driver because, you know, it's a little bit different in that it's actually the only one where you're hitting up on it. But you can get out a little bit out in front of it. Moving your hands in that better position at the moment of impact, you should be able to lower your launch angle, you know, and add a little bit of distance. So if you're too high, that's one thing to look for. And another thing is having a flat at left wrist. This is for righty golfers. A left wrist at impact. So another way to improve your ball flight, make sure your left wrist, again for righty golfers, in a flat position at that moment of impact. With that left wrist flat, you'll have the club head in a good position without adding extra loft to the face. So that's another thing to consider. You know, most of us are playing with, let's say, a 10.5 degree. If you're not getting that left wrist flat, you could be pitching that club face back a little too much and adding even more loft. That's where you could start to see where it's a little too high. So that's an important one. Another thing, look, don't rule out. It is possible that your launch angle problems could have nothing more to do than having the wrong driver in your hands. So if that's true what enough. You suspect, if you're playing to have an angle for your particular attack angle, that type of stuff, it never hurts to get a driver fitting. And you get a pro to come and take a look at it. Again, just like we talked about in past fitting episodes, you're kind of looking for somebody who knows what they're doing, not just trying to sell you a different driver. Ways you can do that. And it's always good to kind of at least rule out the idea that it could be equipment. But certainly take a look at that. And I could see that that's going to, that could be something you want to rule out before you move to the other things. But launch angle, big thing. I think if you're just starting the game, you're a 30 handicapper, it might not be something you want to start tweaking just yet, but it's something that you definitely want to keep in mind. You want to start to nail it down as soon as you can. And watch the guys on tour. Again, their launch angle does not necessarily need to be high because of their swing speeds and because of the spin rate of the balls that they're playing. But again, it's just something to get that idea and that get used to how that works. So it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to like kind of tinker with a little bit. But make sure if you stay there, again, all we're really talking is what we always talk about. It's just good fundamentals, you know, staying balanced, getting your hands in the right position. You know, that's really key. And if you can get there, you should see it improve. And if it doesn't, there might be something more dramatic. And if you're really struggling with it, that's when you can see, oh, go to get a lesson. We got a lot of guys in the group talking about how they're taking their first lessons. But it's always good to be able to walk in a lesson with an objective that you want. And you could say, this is what I'm struggling with. Driver's coming out way too high, something like that. And they can help tweak you a little bit more by visualizing your swing. Because there's going to be little caveats. We try to talk about broad sweeping things that affect everybody, but everyone's swing is different. So if you apply the things we're talking about here and you're still struggling, that's where it might be, you know, good to get that one-on-one.
Yeah. And I'm very happy we talked about this tonight because in the current state of my game right now, I mean, I just talked about that drive. That drive for me was the drive that if I was an excellent golfer, if I really lowered my handicap and I was playing this game lights out, that would be my drive every time. It was that right to left draw, long 290, perfect shot. You know, that's not my normal shot off the tee. But my consistency lacks for that shot. I must be doing so many things differently every time I step up to the tee box with the driver. Just everything's going on and everything is different every single time. That's why I don't have the consistency. But if I could just get that piece of my game with how my short game is right now, I could be upper 70s, like consistently, low 80s, just really knocking the cover off the ball. You know, it's just I cannot get off the tee. I can't figure it out. That's my biggest issue.
Yeah, and look, it could be small little tweak. I would say work on making sure those fundamentals are there like we're talking about here and just see where that puts you as a baseline and then just start to tweak little things.
Yeah.
And the range is a spot to do it, man. Trust me. I mean, you start to try to work this stuff out off course, and then you're just going to be frustrated that you're ruining your round because, you know, you try to make a small change and then you slice it in the woods, you know? So it's a good thing. Like, again, that focused, dedicated practice, go down to the range, even if you have to just bring your driver, if this is what you're working on, and just bang it out and just work on changing small things and experimenting, because that's the key, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So that's everything we have on that topic. One other thing that I want to mention, I actually wanted to mention this earlier and I had forgotten to get around to it, but I didn't want to miss this. Last episode, we talked about the forged iron, how to know when your game is ready. And we're talking again, kind of like broad things that mostly apply. But again, I always like when people add their input on this in the Facebook group. And one thing that, I liked, we had a comment from one of our listeners, Dan Cowell, and he mentioned that even though he's a mid-high handicap, he's been playing essentially forged irons or a mix of forged irons for quite some time, and he's found that there are out there that offer that forgiveness. He's about how he plays the Nike Vapor combo irons, and that's a really solid point. And I didn't get into that, the specifics of that, because there is a lot as far as equipment changes. I was talking mostly about true like blades and cavity backs, but it is true that we've seen recently, because there's been such dramatic improvements in the way these clubs can be manufactured. We've seen a whole new range come out of these you could almost call them forgiving blades. It's like two words you can never before put together, and they're called, you know, kind of broadly players irons. Right. And it is true. They although like some of them, I'm looking at the Nike Vapor combo. Again, we talked about not overspending. Like the list price on those, at least it was about $1,100. But what Daniel pointed out was that he was able to shop around and he got brand new. He got $400 for his set for a five iron through wedge, which is pretty excellent. So there are options out there. It's something to look at. And we're even seeing this, and it's kind of an interesting thing. You got to get your mindset out of like black and white and just start to think like what works for you and forget what works for anyone else. Because right. One thing that I noticed is even pros are starting to mix and match a little bit, where we're starting to see a little bit more on the game improvement side in the high irons, three iron, four iron, and even mixing within the bag, where that's more of a cavity back, because we even see a lot of pros who are moving to hybrids up there. Mm-hmm. And where you want a little bit more of that control and less forgiveness, we're seeing, you know, seven iron and down forged. So there's, you know, don't be afraid to think outside the box. But and I think that's exactly the point that Daniel was trying to make. And Daniel, I appreciate that. That was really, really cool of you to mention, because interesting, and it's true. We don't want to overlook anything. We try to fit a lot into a half hour show, so sometimes we might miss certain caveats, but that's why we have the Facebook group, so we can talk about things even more depth. So if you're not in there, check it out. Join the group. That's a good reason why right there. Okay, Mike, before we wrap it up, once again, I want to thank our sponsor, the USGA. Okay, so golf and life, how do you fit one into the other? Well, it's pretty easy. Play nine. Nine-hole golf is time-friendly and unwind-friendly. It's after-friendly, and there's still time to pick up the kid-friendly. You can even post your nine-hole score, and it counts every time. There's a lot to love about golf, and when there's less time, the USGA says play nine. Learn more about options to play in your area by going to sga.org/play9 today. How's your short game? Mike, couldn't be more true. Play nine when you can't play 18.
That's right.
All right. That's everything we have for you guys this week. Again, check back with us in the Facebook group. Mike and I are going to be posting more as far as the tournament updates, things like that. If you're not in the open yet, go to golfcity.com/open. We'll show you the three easy and free steps that you need to take to get in. 1, 2, 3, play around. You're probably playing around between now and August 15th anyway. You might as well get credit for playing it and get a chance to win some of these great prizes. So check that out, and we'll see everybody again next week.